broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web. You're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. This is Way of the Dreamer, the radio show. We affirm the importance of dreams and imagination and synchronicity. We have a wonderful guest today, Nina Shoroplova. She's a lover of trees, and she's going to talk about the trees in her life and the trees in a wonderful park she is blessed to be close to, Stanley Park in Vancouver. Perhaps some of you know it. Before we bring Nina in, I just want to talk for a moment about you in relation to the trees of your life. Give you a very simple short meditation, which Nina's going to take further as she talks about the song lines of her life in relation to the trees she has known, and maybe is going to inspire all of us to think and feel more about the trees that know us. So I'd just like you to do this for a moment. I'd like you to get yourself in a quiet, comfortable, relaxed position. Just follow the flow of your breathing. No particular way you need to breathe. You're just relaxing the flow of your breathing. And as you do that, I'd like you to call out of memory, or maybe it's right in front of you through the window. I'd like you to call the image of a tree that you know, a tree that's special for you. It might be a tree you know in your life right now. If you're really lucky, it's a tree in your garden or in the park around the corner. Maybe it's a tree from long ago. Maybe it's a tree from childhood. Maybe it's a tree you knew in a foreign land. It's a tree, perhaps, that shares your dreaming, or you share the dreaming of the tree. You felt something in the presence of that tree. Or maybe a big life moment to you unfolded with or near that tree. So I'm just asking you to call up and hold for a moment the memory, the image, the shape of a tree that is meaningful for you, a tree that is special for you, a tree that you know. A tree that knows you, and I'd like you to be with that tree for a moment. Be with it very closely. Look down at how the roots go into the ground. Look at how the trunk rises. Look at how the branches spread up or trail down. Look at the foliage or the needles. Be with that tree in the place where the tree stands, and imagine yourself for a moment able to ground and root yourself deep in the earth where the tree is rooted and grounded, and feel yourself reaching down, down into the earth and finding the warmth and energy of Mother Earth, letting some of that earth energy rise up into your body as you stand or sit with your tree. And like a tree, you're thirsty for light. Trees bring the light. So now as you are with your tree, you feel the experience of drinking the light, and you let the light stream down through the crown of you, down through your canopy, down through your trunk, down through every fiber and particle of you, and you're drinking the light, and that feels good. And now you could see yourself perhaps up in the high branches of your tree, looking out across the distance, looking at the land as you know it, and perhaps looking beyond the land that you know, seeing things you haven't noticed before. Maybe seeing further than the ordinary eye can travel, seeing across space and time. So if you found this tree, very simply, you found a soul tree, a tree of vision, maybe a life tree, maybe a launch pad for all sorts of journeys of memory and imagination and desire. And maybe that tree, if it stands in a place in this world, is central to your personal song lines, the story of your soul as it's traveled through different landscapes. And maybe having that tree secure in memory and in your image, you can proceed to do what Nina's done and what I've done for myself and occasionally encouraged others to do, which is to make a certain kind of soul map of your life journey centering on the trees you have known. Nina has a beautiful foreword to her new book, a lovely, lovely book, one of the most beautiful books about trees I've ever been privileged to handle. And before we bring her on, I'm going to give you the name of her book. The name of Nina Shoroplova's book is Legacy of Trees, Purposeful Wandering in Vancouver's Stanley Park. It's published by Heritage House. It's available now. It has the most beautiful texts and photographs And it starts with a foreword, the trees in my life by Nina, which is a model for how to construct a map of your life journey centered on trees. So welcome, Nina.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's lovely to dream with you there.
I was rereading your wonderful essay, Trees in My Life, and I was with you as you took me back to the oaks in Wales and the horse chestnuts, and you took me to my native Australia and the eucalyptus or gum trees. You took me to landscapes in BC and British Columbia and other places. And I just noticed with envy that you live, you know, so close in Vancouver's West End to that great Stanley Park, where I've led workshops on a couple of occasions. What a lucky sausage you are to live there.
Yes, I certainly am, and I really didn't appreciate how lucky I was until I was looking around a few years ago and knowing that I wanted to write another book and just not sure what that book was about, but I knew it was something to do with walking around and learning more of my neighborhood, and that's when I started going into the park, and I realized that although I'd lived beside Stanley Park for decades, I barely knew it. So that was my opportunity to start to get to know it.
Are you able to walk in the park right now? I mean, is it open for wandering?
Yes, yes. Many of the parks in the city were closed, and definitely the play areas for children were cordoned off, but they have now been reopened, which is a good thing because children really need to play and stretch and climb.
Oh, yes, and adults
explore.
Do, too. And any of us who know Stanley Park are full of envy because it is so various, it's so vast, there's just so much going on there. I mean, it's about the most, I've been qualified, I think the most interesting urban park in terms of the trees that I've ever been privileged to walk in. And it would take a long time to get to know it the way that you have with your purpose for wandering. That's a lovely phrase. So tell us a little bit about the discoveries you've made in that park, but indeed with the trees of your life. You evoke the film Avatar at the end of the essay that I'm mentioning, and that tree of light or tree of life that James Cameron imagined, and you say that you felt something of that in the presence of a weeping birch in Stanley Park. Let's talk to it.
So in Stanley Park, as you say, it's a very varied park. There are parts that are very, they've been actually planted and cleared, and the grass is mowed in those places. And then there are other parts that are quite wild, and there are in-between parts. Now, where this beautiful Weeping Beach is at the north end of the Shakespeare Garden, and that's a very old part of the park. In 1916, a tree was planted for the tercentenary of the death of Shakespeare. It's a huge oak. 104 years old, and it could be older, of course, because it was planted as much more than an acorn, I'm sure. But that whole area, I'm not very good on hectares and so on, but it's quite a large area. And it's planted with many trees that were mentioned in the plays of Shakespeare as couplets. This particular one that I like, I like so many of them, but this Weeping Beech is in front of the Rose Cottage. Now, the Rose Cottage was built, I suspect, in 1920, so 100 years ago, and it was an administration building, and there was a rose garden built at the same time because Vancouver decided that it could be a rose capital of the world, and indeed there are thousands of rose plants in this particular rose garden. But not many people realize that this glorious area to the west of that is the Shakespeare Garden. And originally there were about 16 trees that had little couplets on them. Many of those have fallen away, but some of them have been replaced. But, of course, as the tree grows taller, some of the signage is a little bit out of my reach. But let me take you back to that Weeping Beech because it's in front of this Rose Cottage, which is so charming. And nowadays, a road goes underneath it into a work area. And so the tree gets trimmed from time to time because it would happily, if left to its own devices, weep down to the ground. And when I first saw it, that's how it was. It must have been before a haircut because it just was right down to the ground and it just felt so generous and just absolutely tied me to the earth. And this particular beech, many beeches are quite straight. This particular one leans out over the path as much as to say, I'm here, I can protect you, I can look after you, I can hold you safe while you dream.
What a beautiful description. I don't think I've been to the Shakespeare Garden and Stanley Park, and I don't think I've seen that weeping beech, but you bring to mind two weeping beeches that I do know, and one, perhaps somewhat like this one, bends over so it can make a sort of cottage-like space within its foliage, and the children like to go in there and play games, and, you know, teens like to go and snuggle in there within the protective shelter of the beach. And I remember also a weeping beech at the door of a retreat center in Connecticut, near Long Island Sound, I used to teach, mm-hmm. which is a place owned by the Sisters of Mercy, which is one of those rather good Catholic women's orders that does some good work. And they had a lady they regard as a saint. She hasn't been sainted by the Vatican, but there was a mystic who lived amongst them, and they believed that she speaks from that tree. And, you know, I'm always skeptical about these things, but sitting under that tree on a bench, I did have the feeling of the presence of grace and compassion. For me, it was more likely the spirit of the tree itself rather than the spirit of the sister. But there was that sense mm-hmm. that you were talking about of compassion and grace and welcome and protection.
Yeah.
My mind also goes to a beech tree from history, which I don't think survives anymore, up in Lorraine, up in Domremy, where Jeanne d'Arc started having her visions, because she had her first visions with the Arbre au Fay, the fairy tree, which is actually a beech tree, not a weeping beech, I think, but a straight beech in the midst of an oak forest. So there is a tradition from history, which generated characters in Shakespeare's plays, for that matter. Of the beech tree, which was a tree of vision, a tree of the voyant, the tree seer, like the famous Joan of Arc.
Yeah.
What I'd most like you to do, apart from the sheer joy of listening to you talk about your deep relationship with these trees, mean, which is a delight, what I'd most like you to do is to put all of us on track to making our own story of our lives with trees, the way that you write it in this beautiful essay. So why don't you just talk us through a little bit, starting right back in Wales or wherever you want to begin, about the way you put together your odyssey of a life with trees. And let me just say, by way of further introduction, I was thinking some time ago about how to take people into some kind of version of the Aboriginal idea of songlines, I mean, stories of the land beginning across the country. And I was thinking, how could I construct the idea of a songline that you could follow in your life, which would be sort of universal, in other words, is not dependent on what the emu ancestor or the frilly lizard ancestor did in that landscape or the rainbow serpent, but it could work for any of us, including international people who, like you and me, have changed countries and changed identities and so on. And I thought, well, for me, the only way I can do that, the only kind of way I can anchor it, is to think about special trees, going back to my native Australian trees that spoke to me then. But I want you to tell us more of your story. So begin wherever you like. I'd really like you to begin with those oak trees in Wales. So.
Well, interesting. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start off, because I took your course, Dreamer School of Soul, back in 2017 in the fall. And I had already started walking around Stanley Park and knowing by that time it was October, I already knew I was going to write my next book about Stanley Park. And the subject was already becoming unwieldy because there is so much. You have mentioned you walked around there. Yeah. There is so much there. It is, you know, deep with history. And it's the history of Vancouver. When it's the history of our first park, which was created within the same 2 years as the city was incorporated. It's the story of our city as well as our largest park. But anyway, at that time, back in October 2017, you took us on a tree dream, much as you opened this program with us today. And I dreamed of 4 trees within Stanley Park. They are Silver Beeches. 3 of them are actually gone now. There is only one left. But dreaming of those beech, silver birch trees, I said beech, I meant birch, silver birch trees, made me realize that I didn't have to spread myself all over the map with the park. I could just concentrate on the trees. And that's really what started me going back into my life and realizing the importance of trees in my life. When I was, trees and plants, you know, when I was very young, I mean, some of the earliest memories I have are the smell of the tomatoes that my father grew in his greenhouse. that's one really, really early memory. In the next house I lived, I remember we had blackcurrants growing, and I can remember finding a little cavey place in the garden where I could gather these little tiny currants and eat them like a little picnic. The next garden I remember, there was and I'm not even sure what tree this was, but it had a beautiful branch that was perfect to hang a swing on, and I swung there many hours dreaming, undoubtedly. And then I started to be keen to know about the identity of trees. As I was writing my book, I realized I wanted to know the identity of trees, because it's no good saying this tree on that corner, and you know, you need to know what the species is so that people can find it for themselves and recognize it and learn about what how it speaks to them. And so I recall this time when, as a little brownie, I think they call them sprites or sparks nowadays. I was taught by the brown owl leader that this particular leaf from this particular tree was an oak leaf, and I could tell that that was an oak leaf because it has these very distinctive lobes on it.
Yes.
And so that was my first learning about a specific tree. And I quite marveled, because I don't think I'd really looked up into a tree until I was taught that that leaf on the ground came from that tree, and look how large that tree is. And, yeah, I think that was my earliest thought of trees.
Thank you for bringing us into this through the sense of smell. That was very exciting, and I'm going to encourage people at some point during this program to use remembered smells as a portal, you know, into places of memory. You're more North Americanized than me, Nina. I can't say tomato. I have to say tomato. I can say branch instead of brunch, but I cannot say tomato. Anyway, everybody understands you, even if they don't understand me. But just being taken into that greenhouse smell was already so exciting. It's interesting how memory works, isn't it? I mean, in Proust,
it is.
The remembrance and recollection of time past, it is taste. It's the taste of a cookie, a madeleine, maybe dipped in tea. That's what takes him back. To you, it's the smell of the tomatoes in the greenhouse. And you had me thinking about smells from early life. That's actually, for me, what came back most strongly was the smell, the somewhat seaweedy, somewhat muddy smell of the around the dock where my father would tie up his little boat after fishing from childhood. So that comes to me, a lot of muddy, seaweedy smell. Then I think of the freshness of the casuarina trees called she oaks. They've got nothing to do with the oak as we know it in the world. And so, and then the smell of the wattle in sunlight. That's a huge Australian smell of the wattle. So you're taking me back. So I think about my Australian boyhood. I'm a very absentee Australian, but some things take me back. We're getting ready to take a break. I just wanted to remind, is there a way people can find you online? Do you have a website or some other way they can look for you?
Yes, they can just search for my name, Nina Sharoplova, one word, .ca. And I have a website. That's the name of it. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can, you know, if you want this information without having to figure out how to spell Sharapova, I can do it because I travel Slavic countries and I know about the last A being accentuated. But just go to the Robert Moss blog. I mean, yesterday I ran this excerpt from Nina's beautiful book, and you'll have the information, you'll have a name, Nina Sharapova, and you'll have the name of this beautiful book, Legacy of Trees, Purposeful Wandering in Vancouver's Stanley Park. You've got a taste for this wonderful lady and her relationship with the trees. I hope it's already exciting your imagination and making you think about, you know, how you might put together a soul map, a personal song line with the trees of your life. In recent online courses, I've been getting people to actually draw these things, to actually draw a map with trees along it, you know, like children making a map for adventure, and people have been enjoying that. As a matter of fact, and there's a great synchronicity at work with this too, I mean, it wasn't a literary synchronicity, because I'd actually come up with this exercise and written about it and posted about it, I think 2 days before I opened your beautiful book. Your book might have arrived earlier, but you have no idea how many books I receive. I have 14,000 in my house. So I don't get
everything
right. But it seemed as if it happened in the same moment, that I'd come up with my own idea for a song line based on trees. And then I have your extraordinary essay. So it felt like the world was sort of clapping its hands and shaking its branches and dropping very wonderful acorns and seeds into our laps. All right, we're talking to Nina Sharapova, and we're going to continue to encourage you to think about and maybe make maps of your life with trees. This is Where the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back after the break.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right, you can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. By the way, my new book is about to come out. It's called Growing Big Dreams. Growing Big Dreams, and the subtitle is Manifesting Your Heart's Desires Through 12 Secrets of the Imagination. And you can pre-order it now. Guess that.
get that. And there'll be an audio version as well. I just recorded an audio version. However, the book we're talking about today is by Nina Sholoplova. It's called Legacy of Trees. It's a beautiful description of a life with trees and of purposeful wandering around Vancouver's magnificent Stanley Park. Before we come back to Nina, I want to tell Nina and you a story about a tree that changed my life. I thought about many trees in my life, and the she oaks of my native Australia, and the Merton Bay fig, and the eucalyptus, and to the beech trees in England that I loved, and the huge, the plants that they grew behind, the rhododendrons, enormous rhododendrons, and the madronas, or arbutus of your Canadian, as the Pacific Northwest, and so many others. But the tree that definitively changed my life was a white oak. And it grew behind a rather dilapidated farmhouse on some land in the upper Hudson Valley of New York, not far from traditional mogul land, just across the Hudson River. And I felt the need to get away from cities and the fast track I'd been on half a lifetime ago, and I ended up in a rather synchronistic way at this property, which was not yet on the market, but did come on the market shortly thereafter. And I thought, okay, feels like the right place. And I sat down under the oak behind the house. I watched a red fox at the corner of the cornfield that the dairy farmer used to grow food for his cattle. And I watched white-tailed deer in the woods behind. And I settled with the oak, and I had the impression of generations of people, native and European, who'd lived on that land as if the oak, hundreds of years old, one that survived the lightning, was a sort of memory tree holding memories of the land. And I thought, something is calling me here, but it's not definitive. And suddenly I hear a squalling sound above me, and there's a red-tailed hawk dropping lower and lower, spinning in circles above me, and it drops a feather between my legs, under the oak. So between the oak and the hawk, they got my attention, and after some calculations, I bought the land and lived on that land. And since then, and when it came time to sell the land, guided by dreams and synchronicity again, and the buyer turned up, and immediately offered to buy the property at the asking price in the time when the market was very low, very, very implausible scenario, I said, well, I can't sell you the land unless you go and sit with that oak. And she sat with the oak for half an hour and came back with tears streaming down her face and said, I will conserve this land. I have spoken to the oak. We've had our conversation. So that's how I came upon the property, where I dreamed an indigenous ancient version of the language of the Kanyankahaka, or Mohawk people, Iroquoian people, and changed my life by deciding I'd become a teacher of dreaming instead of whatever else I was doing. And the oak I hold responsible for that, along with the hawk, along with the land they guided me to. So, Nina, trees really can spin you around and, open ways in life in the most unexpected and dramatic ways. And that's what happened to me. So I have to thank or blame that tree, that white oak. And I'll tell you something more in the life of my imagination, Nina. When I need to check something, I get a validation, get a proof. Sometimes the image of the oak will rise. And when I have the image of the oak and the sense of the grounding and solidity and ancientness of that oak, I know that this is right. This is the right track. Mm-hmm. So it lives in my imagination with a sort of internal seal of approval. So here's one of my tree stories for you.
That's wonderful. That really is just wonderful, and it brings to light so many, many things. My maiden name was McGregor, and so I'm of Scottish heritage.
Yeah, that's a name that carries responsibilities.
It does. I'm related to Rob Roy McGregor, and at one time it was no crime to kill a McGregor. And so although, they were on the land really could be taken, or their life on the land could be taken away from them quite easily because it was no crime to kill them. But my particular group of McGregors stayed in Scotland for many, many years until we moved to Wales. But I think for myself and my children, the land just always is really important. I have four children, and they all either love to garden or love to get out into the woods. They relate to trees in some way, the way they They just are around us and holding us down and breathing with us. What we breathe out, they breathe in, what they, and vice versa. It's just wonderful, as you said earlier, synchronicity or something like that.
Well, I'm a Scot on my father's side, which of course means probably that I'm also a Viking, because there's Viking Scots around.
Oh.
My Scots were Lowlanders from Dumfriesshire, and Moth is a subclan of the Maxwell clan, who had the famous triangular forted castle of Caer Laverock, built triangular for magical as well as defensive purposes. Yet the magic didn't work all that well because they're overwhelmed several times. But visiting those ancestral lands, I was very drawn to the rowan tree and the hazel.
Oh, yeah.
I have a hazel wand from a hazel tree there at Caer Laverock in Dumfriesshire. And just a funny story, you know, when I started dreaming in an ancient version of the Mohawk language, and again, I partly blame the oak tree for that, as well as an Anglo-Irish ancestor of mine who lived with the Mohawk in the 18th century. When I first spent a night at a Mohawk reserve, Canadians, as Nina knows, called Indian Reservations Reserve, made with Canadians are more reserved than Americans. When I spent my first night at a Mohawk reserve near Montreal, they wanted to know about my ancestry, so I mentioned the Scots.
Mm-hmm.
And they thumped the table and they said, "Oh, great, they call us savages. We just took a scalp, a little bit of skin and hair. You Scots took the whole head. You're in. You're the real savages." There's some virtue in being able to claim Scottish ancestry amongst this Native American group.
Oh, goodness, yeah. Yeah, it's something you don't want to mention always.
Well, you know, there's that scene at the end of Macbeth with Macduff walking across the stage. Actually, I put in one of my novels, historical novels, Fire Along the Sky. There's a scene of Mohawk Indians in the Queen's Theatre in London in 1710. Uh-huh. It's a performance of Macbeth, and there was Macduff walking across the stage. All right, we want to stay to our theme of trees, so easily, you know, distracted. Take us somewhere else in your life with trees.
Okay, well, let's go back to a slightly later time, which was in the schoolyard. So I went to school in Wales, Howell School, Llandaff, a very strict school. It was part boarding, part day school. But there, actually, I got most fabulous education in English, in Latin, in music, geography, all these other things. But in the grounds of that school were horse chestnut trees. They are the most, they have the showiest of flowers. It's one huge inflorescence of little flowers, white with pink in the middle. And they come in a candelabra shape, held upright. And when a horse chestnut tree is in bloom, it is the most glorious image. And then in the fall, which is when term starts again in September, then all the great big shiny red conkers would be falling down. And in Britain, the game used to be that the boys would do it, the girls didn't. The boys would pierce a hole through the center of the conker and put a string through it, tie a knot underneath, and then they'd play what was called conkers. And they would see who would conquer the other with their conker. But the girls...
It is now a form of fighting with a medieval mace, I think.
Yes, that's right. Much, much gentler with a conker. So
delightful memory.
Yeah. That was my schooling below the horse chestnut trees, and then the time in Australia with the various so many different eucalyptus trees of every shape and size. I mean, I think that is what is so fascinating about the flora in Australia is that every single tree is different. You know, if you travel through through North America, as we drive through the forest, the trees start to all look the same. But the landscape in Australia was so diverse everywhere. The trees are leaning every which way, and the bark is coming off and leaving fabulous colors behind, peeling in interesting shapes. Absolutely captivating.
All right. We're talking to Nina Sharapova, Nina McGregor Sharapova, I want to call her now, since she's revealed her Scottish ancestry. We're talking about her book, Legacy of Trees, and we're going to encourage you to do more in terms of calling up your own roadmap of your life journey involving trees. When we come back after the break, you're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Musk.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Gingivitis, gum disease, words you don't want in your mouth. But according to the American Dental Association, 3 out of every 4 adults will develop gum disease. Now there's an all-natural way to fight back. Introducing the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies. Developed by a dentist and clinically tested by a leading university, the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies daily oral rinse and toothpaste was proven to kill the germs that cause gum disease better than the leading brands. Regular use was proven to reduce gingivitis and bleeding gums. The Natural Dentist contains herbs like echinacea and aloe vera and has no alcohol or sugar or harsh chemicals. The Natural Dentist is guaranteed to work or your money back. You can find the Natural Dentist at most drug and health stores, including Trader Joe's, Save-On, Walgreens, and Long's Drug Stores, as well as most health stores, including Whole Foods Markets and Wild Oats. Call 800-615-6895 or visit www.thenaturaldentist.com for more info.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Here we go again. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do hop over to the Robert Moss blog. You'll find it just like that if you enter Robert Moss blog, and you'll find, amongst other things, a wonderful essay by Nina on her life, Nina Sharapova, my guest on her life with trees. You'll also find today a remarkable little story. Little stories can reveal big things about precognition, dreaming with the departed, and other things. If I do say so myself. An enchanting story of my being welcomed by the former leader of a spiritualist community in the American Midwest, who died some time ago, to a center where I'm now going to participate in a conference remotely in October. At the time of the dream, it looked as if she was welcoming me to the physical site, and so I put the dream aside and thought, well, that's not going to happen. I'm not traveling this year. Now it is happening. Anyway, it's a little story about little things leading to big discoveries. Nina, you're talking about the different landscapes with trees in different parts of the world, and you're up there in Vancouver in the Pacific Northwest. You know, one of my favorite images involving trees is of the nurse stumps or nurse logs you find in the evergreen forests of the Pacific Northwest, and it looks as if the tree is dead, the log is lying on the ground, or the stump has been cut off, and yet there is new life coming from it. The supposedly dead stump or dead log is providing all these nutrients for new growth. That, to me, is one of the great symbols of regeneration. And there is a great stump like that in Mosswood Hollow, 45 minutes east of Seattle, where I was teaching a lot before the pandemic, which for me is really like the spiritual center, the heartbeat of the place, this immense stump from which new trunks are rising. I mean, this is one of the great tree images
that lives and throbs mm-hmm. in my imagination.
Mm, yes.
So you're in that kind of landscape. Well, you're in Vancouver, but
I am.
That kind of landscape
I am.
Is
yes.
around you.
That's right. And wandering through Stanley Park, there are places close to landscaped areas where they have left things wild. Apart from the trails, there are many, many trails that you can walk, but near the landscaped areas where trees have been logged, and you can see the markings where people put in the springboards. There would be two men with a very long saw, perhaps 6 feet, perhaps 8, 10 feet long, with big jagged teeth. And these two men would stand on the springboards, which were the boards that were stuck into the tree itself, and they would be standing there to cut it down. We're going back to the 1880s to think about this. And so there are many stumps like that throughout Stanley Park, with history written right into their trunks. And falling onto those stumps are the seeds of many other trees. And many times, walking through the park, you can see western hemlock, not a particularly valued tree by the logging industry, and nor is it particularly valued by the forestry industry, but it is a beautiful tree. The foliage is so delicate and variable. Actually, its Latin name is, the epithet is heterophylla, which means of different lengths. The leaves are of different lengths, and because of that, the light plays on these different lengths in a most attractive way. Anyway, what I wanted to say was that the seeds from the western hemlock drop onto these many nurse logs and find themselves a little home, and they may start growing sort of 6 feet off the ground. So at 6 feet off the ground, sitting on top of this stump, they will be sending shoots up into the sky and roots down through and around and about the nurse log. And gradually, some of these trees have absorbed their roots, their nurse logs. And so then there they are standing on four pillars or eight pillars. And that's pretty intriguing to look at, because they will have absorbed all the goodness out of the nurse log.
Mm.
Pretty,
what an
pretty
magnificent
amazing.
Image. What a delightful word picture you paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, you're making me go Scottish again, you know. The Maxwell family crest shows two images. Shows a stag with the antlers that fall and die back, and it shows a stump with a new seedling coming out of it. And the motto is reveresco,
yes.
Which means I grow back, I grow back. So there's that theme of
right.
regeneration and coming back, and it's so powerful. Do you think, you know,
yes.
I mean, so many cultures have assigned different characters, different medicinal uses, of course, different food potential, different spirits to different trees. Do you feel drawn to different trees for different things? I mean, for example, if you're in a mood for healing or a mood for relaxation or a mood to transport yourself to other time and place, are there different trees that call you in different ways?
I think I'll be going back to the beaches again. There are two other beach trees in Stanley Park, and I keep going back to the park because that's where the trees have the space to grow. You know, they were originally planted, but they've been left there and not crowded by other trees. And there is one in the Shakespeare Garden, another beach in the Shakespeare Garden. This is, and I forget whether it's called a split, its common name is split leaf or fern leaf. Anyway, it's in my book. But it is a most glorious beech tree that you were talking about, getting inside the canopy of it, and the spread is huge, 40 feet spread, you know, and it's as wide as it's tall. Sorry, I don't talk in meters. I know I've lived here a long time, but for me it's all feet.
We don't need meters.
That's good.
But still feet anyway, Nina.
Oh, good. Well, I'm just thinking,
if I have never been to Stanley Park, and I'm looking for X marks the spot, a place to head for when I go there, you've just given us one. And the map and directions are in your book, Legacy of Trees. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I want to encourage everybody to do what Nina has done so well, and she shared some of it in the show, which is to make a personal map of your life journey using trees as the landmark. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back after the break with Nina Sharapova.
Your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait. Don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. This is Way of the Dream of Robert Moss. Our wonderful guest is Nina Sharapova. She loves trees and helps us understand how to honor and record and use our memories of trees. Nina, everybody's interested in how people write and particularly how people write books. Tell us a little bit about your writing process. And obviously you drew upon the memories and the feelings of many other people in putting Legacy of Trees together. Tell us a little bit about how you write, what inspires you to write, and how you bring your material together.
All right, where to start? I think writing calls to me. It isn't something that I just do. It's something that I have to do. And a topic will present itself, but to me in a very large way. I think fiction writers often get a complete story. But I'm a non-fiction writer, which means that I have an idea about the appeal of something, and I just have to get started and approach it. For me, I know a lot of people like to talk about what they're writing about. That doesn't work for me at all. I have to keep it a deep, dark secret from almost everybody because I don't really need anybody else's opinion on what I'm writing about, because I haven't figured out yet really what I'm writing about. I just will know kind of a ballpark area. And so I will start writing and start, as I did back in September 2017, on the 6th of September, I started knowing that I was going to write a book about Stanley Park. And when we had that dream session that I attended your dream class, I realized that the trees could speak for the whole of the park. But even then, I wrote and wrote and rewrote and revised a number of times before the material settled into a shape that I could defend and feel really presents the park, really shows it off in the way that it should be shown off. So for me, writing is a process of writing and rewriting and revising and listening to others. And at one point I emailed a large group of people and said, you know, what do you feel about trees? Do you like trees? If you do, send me some words about how you feel about trees. And almost everybody wrote back to me and related to trees in different ways. And that was, they were gifts, every person who wrote. It was just wonderful.
That's great. Yeah, I find most people are inspired by trees. Most people like trees. Most people remember special mm-hmm. trees. I think you're quite right about not running around blathering too much about what you're writing, as opposed to inviting discussion and contribution on a particular theme. I'm very much like that myself. I tend not to talk about books that are in process as books, but if mm-hmm. there's something I want to illustrate or flesh out in terms of new examples for my nonfiction, like, for example, we take the theme of how there might be a gift in a wound, an opportunity in a setback. I might ask a group mm-hmm. if they want to give me examples from their life, looking over it, of how they suffered a loss or a setback that later on proved to contain a gift. Or I might simply want to collect dreams around a special occasion or a special theme. I mean, in my new book, for example, I drew upon 400 dream reports from different people around the week leading up to Epiphany, January the 6th, and I called it Dreams of Epiphany, just looking at the kinds of dreams people were having at this transitional time. Interestingly enough, I didn't notice many of those dreams really anticipated the coronavirus pandemic. I mean, some of them anticipated times of darkness and danger. On the contrary, many of them anticipated ways of getting through, you know, ways. So in that sense, maybe the dreams were offering pathways forward. Anyway, like you, I tend to avoid wasting the energy and diffusing the energy by talking about a book in process. But I will turn to people, as you did, on the trees to contribute on themes or, you know, topics that they're interested in. That's a good thing to do. But just take a couple of minutes to talk to everybody listening in, and we have people listening in from at least 71 countries, I believe. I just invite you to go into this kind of meditation that Nina and I have been talking about, of your life with trees, and maybe you'll find that trees, the place where they stand, the memories of that moment in your life, the connections they had with you, are important markers, points of transition, points of discovery, points of connection with the world behind the world, from which you can make your own soul map, your own map of your soul's journey in life. So you might approach this, as we said earlier, by finding the tree that holds most energy for you right now, and maybe you can picture yourself up in the high branches of that tree, looking out over your life story, at the road of your life leading up to the moment, this moment, and maybe at the road of your life leading forward, if you like. And if you're up in the high branches of your tree, looking over the road of your life, see how far back you might want to go. See if you're back in childhood, or even back in the life of your mother before you came into the world, and see if there was a tree in a landscape that was important then. And maybe this becomes the marker of the very first period of your adventure in this world, and then you track forward and you find other trees, and there are things going on at the time that you knew that tree, falling in or out of love, changing your work, changing your focus, opening your spirit, suffering loss perhaps, coming into connection with the owl or the bear or the panther. And you simply go forward like that, and you make an inventory of the trees that occur to you, that come to you right now. And then maybe you take time with each one to be in your imagination memory, but beyond your memory, with each of those trees, and gather some impressions and some memories. And maybe you actually draw yourself a map. What about that? You draw yourself a road map. Maybe it has some wiggles, maybe it has some ups and downs. And the principal markers along the map are going to be those trees of your life that you found. I think that would be a lovely exercise. I know many who've done it through my workshops have gained from it, and maybe it will give you some tethering, some rootedness, some anchorage in your present life. All right, you're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Maas. We'll be back for a moment after the break.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, the same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait. Don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978. Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Wow, you've been listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. I'm looking at a photo in Nina Shiroplova's wonderful book, Legacy of Trees, of an enormous beach. You want to check out these pictures? Go to the Robert Moss blog and you'll find an article by Nina with some of the photographs. Nina, thank you so much for sharing your life with trees.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure, Robert. I have enjoyed this hour tremendously. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So Nina's book again is Legacy of Trees. My new book, Growing Big Dreams, is available for pre-order now. It's officially published next month. You might want to look for that. Hop over to the Robert Moss blog and my website, mossdreams.com. And from now until always, may your best dreams come true, and may you remember them.